Welcome to this edition of PowerPoint with Jack Graham. A little later in the program, we'll tell you how you can get a copy of Dr. Graham's books, Help, as well as A Hope and a Future. But first, here's his message, Discerning Your Culture.
The most popular verse in this culture is the words of Jesus who said, "Judge not, lest you be judged." Now, the reason this is the most popular and most quoted verse in our culture is not for necessarily a good reason. Because we hear this thrown in our faces so often when we make a moral or biblical judgment, or if we take a moral stand in our times where tolerance reigns over truth, we will hear things like, "Hey, who are you to judge me?" Right? "Hey, man, who made you my judge? Doesn't the Bible say, judge not, lest you be judged? Who are you to say I can't live with my girlfriend? Who are you to say I can't party hard any way I want to with my friends? Who are you to say that Jesus is the only way to heaven, that I can't go to heaven my own way? Who are you to judge, man?" And in this culture, where truth is up for grabs and truth becomes opinion and prejudice rather than the Word of God, we have a generation which desperately needs to learn discernment between truth and error, right and wrong. And how we judge and how we discern the culture is the subject of our Lord's words here, beginning at chapter 7 and verse 1. "Judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me remove the speck from your eye,' and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you into pieces. Judge not, that you be not judged." Now, what did Jesus mean by these words? Well, let's begin by talking about what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean that we are not to use judgment or discernment properly, that we are not to discriminate or delineate between what is right and what is wrong, between what is true and what is false. Jesus spoke of King Herod as being a fox. I would say that's judgment. He called the Pharisees blind Pharisees. He spoke of them as hypocrites, as whitewashed tombs. He even called them vipers, snakes. I would say that would be judgment, wouldn't you? He says in the very passage that we have before us in chapter 7, "Beware of false prophets." Well, if you're to be aware of a false prophet, you have obviously the task of discriminating, discerning between what is false and what is true when it is delivered as a message. Truth and error. In the very context, the very words that we just read, Jesus said, we're to not take that which is holy and give it to hogs and dogs. Now, in the time of Christ, of course, hogs were considered to be dirty animals and unclean in the sight of the Jew. And dogs in the days of Jesus were not house pets for the most part. They were mangy, rangy creatures that run up, kind of, they were just vicious animals, and people were frightened of these dogs. They were dirty animals. And so when Jesus said, don't take that which is holy and give it to dogs or give it to swine, he was referring to those who were defiant against God, who had no fear of God, who resisted and rebelled against the gospel to the degree that Jesus said, don't take that which is holy of God. Doesn't mean that we're not to try to reach a lost people or immoral people, but there is a status or a station in life when a person has become a hog, a dog in the sight of God, an animal in the spirit, and has finally and fully rejected. Jesus said, don't give what is holy and pure. You know, my dog, he likes simple things. He's got these bones. Just, they're plastic, or I don't know what they're made out of, rawhide bones. And he thinks this bone is really something special. I mean, you know, I'll come in and he'll come walking up wagging his tail with this bone in his mouth and, you know, like, hand it to me. I look at it and hand it back. It's just a little thing. But if you put a Rolex watch on that dog's leg, he wouldn't care one thing about that Rolex. I mean, you don't give what is precious and what is valuable to someone, to something who doesn't understand it, who will not comprehend it. So Jesus said, don't give that which is holy and pure to dogs, to animals. Well, wait a minute. Sounds like a judgment to me. So Jesus obviously is not suggesting that we are not to discern our culture, our times. Certainly we are to make every effort to learn truth and to live truth in the home, on the job, in the church. There should be accountability by the way we live and what we believe in the government. He doesn't forbid examination, but what he does forbid is condemnation. That spirit of hypocrisy that judges others without first judging self. And so we are to judge, but how are we to judge? We are to discern our culture, our times, behaviors, beliefs, attitudes. These things may be judged, but we are to judge in a way that honors God and encourages people. So how do we do that? Number one, by judging humbly. We live in a culture of pride and arrogance. Critics are everywhere. And it often is not offered in humility, but rather than in arrogance and in pride. We are sinners in need of grace. And when we read our Bibles, and when we know our Bibles, you know, knowing your Bibles, knowing truth, should not give you a big head. It ought to give you a big heart for people. And so when we judge others, we must do it humbly. I've noted if someone is particularly critical or judgmental of someone else or their behavior, it's often because they're struggling with the same problem, the same sin. They have a weakness in their own life in the same area. I had a wonderful pastor by the name of Fred Swank when I was a teenager, and I remember him saying on numerous occasions, he had a long finger and he could point it. But Swank, when he would preach, would often say, now remember this, when I've got a finger pointed out at you, I got three of them coming right back at me. And it's true, isn't it? So we are to judge humbly. Sometimes people accuse others of certain things and judge them harshly because they want to feel better about themselves by comparison. We think by tearing someone else down or condemning them, putting them down, that we would somehow build ourselves up. Faults in others I can plainly see, but praise the Lord, there's none in me. Jesus said, before you judge, before you discriminate, before you discern right and wrong, truth and error, something that's going on in someone else's life, you humble yourself before God. We have no right, Jesus said, to judge others before we judge ourselves, to admit the truth about ourselves. In this culture in which we live, We see so many things that are wrong. The world's going to hell in a handbasket, we say. But before we judge the world, we need to judge ourselves, and as the church, to repent, to mourn, and weep over our own sin. Because the Bible says judgment begins at the house of God. If my people, who are called by my name, shall humble themselves, turn from their sin, repenting, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. We humble ourselves before God, and there we experience His grace, His love, His mercy, in order that we might give, rather than harsh judgment, God's grace and God's mercy. Judge humbly.
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham, and today's message, Discerning Your Culture. These are unprecedented days. It's no wonder so many look at the coronavirus pandemic and racial tension we're experiencing and wonder if healing is possible. It is, and the healing starts with you. Learn how in Dr. Jack Graham's books, Help, as well as A Hope and a Future. You'll learn biblical truth that leads to healing from anger, loneliness, grief, addiction, and other emotional pain. And you'll get practical biblical advice for how to endure faithfully in times of testing. These resources are our ways to say thanks for your gift. So call now to request your copies. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word PowerPoint to 313131.
And don't forget to visit jackgraham.org, where you can shop our e-store or sign up for Dr. Graham's free daily email devotional. Our website again is jackgraham.org. Now let's get back to today's message, Discerning Your Culture.
Secondly, judge carefully. We often rush to judgment before we know the facts, don't we? How many times have we had the experience of sticking our feet in our mouth because we spoke when we didn't know the facts? And people with harsh, critical, fault-finding spirits. You know, Jesus said, in fact, he said it in chapter 7, verse 20, therefore by their fruits you shall know them. There's discrimination. There's distinguishing. You know, we're to be fruit finders, not fault finders. But sometimes we're angry and negative. We have attitudes, and we jump to conclusions before we know. Remember, as human beings, we're not the final judge. We don't know everything. Our knowledge is limited. This is why judgment is fully and finally given into the hands and into the heart of God. One day we will stand before God, yes, in a judgment. But He will judge us well because He sees and knows. I don't see, I don't know everything. So before we judge, before we jump to conclusions about what we heard about somebody or what somebody said about somebody else, we better make sure that we get the facts straight and remain silent until we are able to deliver some kind of real judgment or sound judgment. Why is it that we are so bent on presuming guilt? We must sympathize and understand and seek understanding. I mean, we don't know what's going on in that person's life. We don't know the struggles they have, the weaknesses they're dealing with, the pressures they're under. We don't know their temptations or their temperaments. We really don't know. And that's why it is especially evil to judge a person's or attempt to judge a person's motives. And yet people do it all the time. Judging a person's heart, the secrets of their soul, that's impossible. You say, well, if I know my own heart, you don't even know your own heart, much less somebody else's heart. The Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Only God knows my heart. Only God knows your heart. Therefore, we must be cautious. We must be careful. in our judgments and certainly never drive at the heart. We may critique a person's actions or their sinful attitudes or their behavior or their beliefs, but we are not capable of judging the inner person, the inner life of an individual. You know what we need to be doing? Instead of judging another person's heart, we need to be praying as the psalmist prayed in Psalm 139. Lord, search my heart. See if there be any wicked way in me and lead me into the way everlasting. God, judge my motives. God, deal with my heart. But a critical person, a caustic person, reverses that. You know, we ought to be harder on ourselves than we are on others. Wouldn't you agree? But we often reverse that. We're easy on ourselves and hard on other people. Have you noticed when you start working or trying to work on somebody else's problems, you don't have time to work on your own stuff, your own problems? It's like the wife who spends her whole life trying to improve her husband rather than working on her own life, or the dad who's hard on his kids rather than working on himself. Now again, I'm not talking about discrimination and discipline or accountability, not those things. But just the harsh, hard criticism that often flows. Deal with a problem, but take care of your own problem first. Jesus said in Matthew 18, if you've got a problem, if there's someone caught in a sin or captured in the sin, go and talk to that person about it. Don't talk to everybody else about it. There's a time to confront in truth and to deal with problems. But the way we deal with them most of the time is not the biblical way, but it is the selfish way. Judge carefully. Again, there are times when we need to get a speck out of somebody's eye. But remember this, when you go to get a speck out of somebody's eye after having taken the plank out of your own eye first, remember this, that the eye is very sensitive. You start digging around in somebody's eye, getting a speck out, you can do a lot of damage. So do it the right way, with graciousness and gentleness. So judge carefully, judge humbly, and then very quickly, judge biblically. Some things are clearly right and wrong. There's some things that are always right. It's always right to do what is right. It's right to do good. It's right to pray. It's right to witness. It's right to love people. Some things are always wrong, according to God's word. It's wrong to lie. It's wrong to cheat. It's wrong to commit adultery. But there are also shades that don't fall in the category of, well, this is right, this is wrong. And these are preferences, and these are matters of conscience. And Paul called them in Romans 14, verse 1, disputable matters. They were dealing at that time with an issue in the church of meat given to idols and whether or not they were going to eat meat that had been given to idols. And there was a huge conflict in the church. And so Paul wrote an entire chapter dealing with the issues of disputable things, things that weren't clearly right and wrong, but were matters of principle, matters of conscience. And he said, above all, don't do anything that would make your brother stumble. So we are to judge, and when we judge, we should be able to point to a verse of Scripture or to a clear biblical principle that supports our position. My own preferences, opinions, and personal convictions must not be imposed upon another person unless I can clearly point to the teaching of the Word of God. Look, we will not always agree on every subject. We can always find matters of opinion and preference, things that we don't like. If we're not careful, we can lose our joy and become inflexible to change and opportunities. What we really ought to be asking about a church are questions like these. Is Jesus magnified? Is the Word of God prophesied? Is it taught? Are the people rejoicing in Christ? Our children being blessed, our young people being encouraged, our families being strengthened, our lives being changed, our people being born again. That's what's really important. A lot of the other things that we love to complain about and criticize, they don't really matter. Judge biblically. And finally, judge temporally. Because you see, we have the power to discern and discriminate on earth, but not the power to judge in eternity. We are able to criticize, but not to condemn. We can warn, but not damn people with our judgments. That's for Jesus to judge. That's why Jesus said, judge not, in verse 1, that you be not judged, for with the same judgment you judge, you will be judged. What does that mean? Well, it's true, isn't it? If you are harsh and judgmental, if you are a judging person, you're going to be judged accordingly yourself. And besides that, Jesus said, we are accountable to God. For he said in Luke chapter 12 and verse 48, to whom much is given, much is required. We have a higher accountability and a stricter judgment. And the discipline of God will come if we are harsh and unrelenting. God gives us a choice. We can be gracious and loving and merciful. We can give grace and mercy, or we can give judgment and harshness. It all boils down to verse 12, and I close. Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Jesus said, this is the law and the prophets. This is the Old Testament. This is the whole thing. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. As you would have others judge you, you judge them. As you would critique and criticize others, so will you be criticized. Most of the things we fight about are petty and trivial and do not advance the kingdom of God. Wouldn't it be wonderful if God's people would put aside personal taste and pet projects and peripheral issues and focus on the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ in the world? So judge not, lest you be judged. God has called us to build people up, not to tear them down. And the fact is that on the cross, Jesus Christ took our sin and our judgment. There is a judgment coming. There is a final judgment coming. But you can settle your case out of court because Jesus took your sin and the payment, the penalty of your sin, your judgment, your hell and mine on the cross, and he paid the price for our sins. He accepted judgment for us that we would never be judged when we get into eternity. Jesus wants to be, wills to be your Savior and your Lord. If you don't accept him as Savior today, one day you will stand before him as your judge. But you can trust him as your Lord, your Savior, the forgiver, the friend of your life, by giving him your heart and your life and letting him change you and make you the kind of person that he talked about, that we talked about today. Experiencing his love and his grace and giving it to others. And in a culture which desperately needs Christians to be at their best, may we discern our culture with truth and error, belief and behavior, but may we do it in the spirit of our loving Savior, Jesus Christ.
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham, and today's message, Discerning Your Culture. Anxiety, stress, grief, fear. Chances are you've felt all of these emotions in recent months, and with so much uncertainty in the world today, it's vital we cling to God's rock-solid truth to find lasting peace. That's why we want to make sure you get a copy of Dr. Jack Graham's new book, Help, as well as his book, A Hope and a Future. In Help, you'll learn biblical truth that leads to healing from anger, loneliness, grief, addiction, and other emotional pain. And in A Hope and a Future, you'll get practical biblical advice for how to endure faithfully in times of testing. Please call now to give and request your copies. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word PowerPoint to 313131.
And don't forget to visit jackgraham.org, where you can shop our e-store or sign up for Dr. Graham's free daily email devotional. Our website again is jackgraham.org. Pastor, what is your PowerPoint for today?
The world just wants us to stand by and watch and wink at sin and not say anything about it. That's why I said it earlier in this message that this is the favorite verse of our culture, especially those who do not know Christ. Judge not, lest you be judged, to them means that there really is no truth, that we can never bring truth to bear upon sin or upon behavior, upon character. And yet we know we must stand up for the truth of God. Judge not, lest you be judged, does not mean that we are to turn from truth or to accommodate truth to a culture that does not know Christ and does not live according to the commandments of God. We must discern truth from error in church and in the culture. At the same time, Jesus strictly warns us that we're not to do this with an attitude that is judgmental. We should be quick to love, realizing that it is only because of the grace of God that we have become who we are. We have been loved and graced unconditionally by our God, and we should give that kind of grace and love to others. Instead of judging other people's motives and especially their hearts, ask God to search your own heart. Ask God to show you His truth from His Word. Don't make decisions based upon opinion or prejudice, but make decisions and give discernment based upon the clear Word of God. The best way to make a difference in this culture is not just to treat the symptoms, people's behavior, but to give them the answer to the source of real life, to show them who Jesus is and how forgiveness of sin is possible and God's grace and God's love is available to all who call upon Him. God is willing not to give judgment, but to give salvation to all who will come to faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus took our sin, our judgment, our hell upon the cross. Therefore, we can receive His life and His eternity. Trust in Christ today. He is the one who makes you different and will help you discern right and wrong in the culture, truth and error in the church, and will help you to live a life that pleases Him.
And that is today's PowerPoint. Remember, when you give a gift to PowerPoint, we'll send you Dr. Jack Graham's books, Help, as well as A Hope and a Future, as our thank you. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word PowerPoint to 313131. Text PowerPoint to 313131. And remember, PowerPoint is a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. Join us again next time as Dr. Graham brings a message about how you can know the right and wrong path in life. That's next time on PowerPoint with Jack Graham.
PowerPoint with Jack Graham is sponsored by PowerPoint Ministries.